Begin the Kandaf Mesach, Psachim Daf Nud Gimel. We begin 7 lines down from the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Daf, and that is in our Mishnah we spoke about the Chumis Mimokim Sheyatzim Misham and Mokim Shehalach Lisham. That when one goes from one place, which has one custom, to another place, which has another custom, then you have to go according to the stringencies of either place. And therefore, one of the halachas that was mentioned in the Mishnah was regarding the halachas of Shemitah. And depending on where you're coming from, where you're going to, if either one was kalu, that they already finished all the produce that's out there for the wild animals, it's not there anymore, then you have to go ahead and do what's called beer. You have to eliminate it from your own domain. So Gemara continues on this halacha regarding the proper zman of when is the time for certain types of produce when one would have to eliminate it when we consider already gone from the fields that the wild animals don't have. As we explained, that's the criteria on the previous stuff, that one would have to get rid of it from his house. So talking about the Mulet and the Braisa. Eichlim ba'anavim, you could eat from grapes, ad sheyichlu deloyei shel eichlim, until the deloyeis, which those are like grapevines that hang on top of poles, of the place of eichel, that's a place where there's a lot of vineyards. When that is already done, then that's a sign that there's no more left outside in the wild, and then one would have to go ahead and get rid of his grapes and do beer on them. However, im yesh mocharis men, although that's a place of where the grapes are, which that would be probably the last remaining bit of grapes out there in the wild. However, if there's some area that even has more than the grapes of the lois later on than that, then eichel nalem, then you could continue to eating as long as there's somewhere that there's grapes for the animals out in the wild, then one can go ahead and still hold on to them. Eichlim bezeis, and one could continue eating olives, until the last one, tekaya, gets eliminated. And that is, tekaya was a place where there were many olives, as mentioned many times in Shas. And therefore, if tekaya still has, then you could still hold onto it. However, Belezam, he says, that until the last one in Gush Chalav gets rid of, where there were also many olives, and that was in the portion of the Shebet Asher, which says within the Pasuk, B'tevel B'Shem and Ragli, as the Gemara Menachas explains. And therefore, if there is over there, then that's also going to be sufficient to hold on to it. And as Rabbi Eliezer explains, what does this mean that there's not anything left? It means, that means that a poor person is going to go out. In Gush Chalav, he's not going to find, not in the branches, not in the root of the tree, he's not going to find even a reva of olives. That would already be considered that it's already finished off outside in the fields. And hence, one would have to take out his olives and bring it out and do beer, because that's already considered that it's not found anymore. So the Gemara continues, Eichlin begregris, one could eat dried figs, until the figs of Beis Hini, the figs from that place, are eliminated. That is, again, we're talking about for all these types of produce, when that item, which these are, the Bryce is teaching us that these are places which generally that's the latest where they're left, if they're gone over there, then one would have to do beer. I'm Rabbi Huda. However, Rabbi Huda argues, he says, no, Lehuskru, it wasn't mentioned in the Beis Medrash, Pagi Beis Hini, these figs of Beis Hini, that they are considered a pre, you're trying to say they're a pre, and therefore there's still some of these figs outside, and you don't have to get rid of yours. It's not true. They're really not considered a fruit, and hence it's like as if there's no more left, even if these pagi beisini are around. This that would consider them a fruit was elin yam meiser. That was only for the halachas of meiser, but not for the halachas of shvias. And now those that take out the word ditnan, because it's not a mishnah, that pagi beisini, at the figs of beisini, vaahini, and the dates, the tuvina of the place called tuvina. And these pagim and these dates that we're talking about from Beis Hini and Tuvina are very small, that they are chayavim ma'aser, that they're still obligated ma'aser. And again, that's where we said this halacha of pagim Beis Hini, but we didn't say it according to Rabbi Yehuda in the halachas of Shemitah, and that would not qualify as considered peris. And if only those were left, one would still have to do beer on his produce. Now the Gemara continues on this discussion by quoting what we had mentioned in the previous daf. We mentioned that a machloikis. Eichlin b'tmarim, it was said that one could eat dates until the last one in Tsayar gets rid of those dates, that up until that point you could consume it. Rishim Gamliel said, Eichlin al Shabein Akipin, you can only eat, and that is as Rashi had explained in the previous stuff, when the wind blows, the dates fall off, and they can either get stuck on the branches on the top, or which are called Kipin, or can get stuck on the thorns that are on the bottom, which are called the Sheetsin. So Rishim Gamliel's opinion was that you could only, not like the Tanakama, he's more stringent, although there are some dates left in Sayar, it's only if they're al bein hakipin, they're between the branches. However, in oichlan al shabein hashitz, you can't eat inside your house to hold on to it and not do beer based on the dates that are between the thorns, and that's because once they're in the thorns, then the animals also can't eat it because they're going to get pricked by the thorns, and therefore it's not considered as if they have it, and therefore you have to do the beer. But now the Gemara asks Berminu, we learned in the Braisa that seems to contradict this Braisa. We learned oichlan ba'anovim ara Pesach. Grapes could be eaten all the way up until Pesach. Bezeis and for olives ad atzeres until Shavuos. That is, we're talking about throughout the Shemitah year. You could hold on to it because obviously we're saying that they're still out there in the wild. Begregers ad Chanukah, for dried figs, you could eat up until Chanukah. Betamar ad Purim, and with dates up until Purim. Now, v'omer Rabbi had said that Rabbi Yechanan tarted basrei samachal. Rabbi Yechanan switched around the last two that he said that with Gregorius was until Purim, and with Tamar was until Chanukah. But either way, the Gemara asks, that seems to contradict what we just said before. We said regarding dates, that it's up until when the last tree in Sayer gets finished, and then it would be considered you have to do beer. Yet here we give a different Zman. Here we give, regarding at least the way Rabbi Yochanan had switched it for dates, up until Chanukah. So the Gemara gives two answers. Either Idi v'Idi Chachiruhu. You're right, it's the same shir. This man of Chanukah is the same as the last tree in Sayer. V'ibay same, or if you want, you could say that Hakatani Behedu, we had just mentioned before in a different brisa, that Yesh Mucharzman, if there is a later time, that Eichel Nalei, and then you could eat based on that later time, so there was not a contradiction. What we were saying was one Zman, but then the other one was saying a later Zman, and we go according to the later shir. Now the Gemara segues into a related discussion talking about trees. Tanya, learn the brisa. B'Shim Lil says, similar harm, a sign to know that this is mountains, are milin, are golnut trees. And that is, however, regarding, let's say, dekalim, let's say date palm trees, that those don't grow well on mountains. It's only this golnut trees that is a sign for mountains, they grow well there. And as the Gemara will later explain, there will be a difference regarding halachas of bikurim. Similarly, similar makam, a sign for valleys, are dekalim, are date palm trees, that they grow there. And again, the significance will be regarding, however, other things that grow in the valley, which do not grow as well, will be related again to halachas of bikurim. Similarly, chalim, a sign for the streams, are kanama reeds, and that is, if you find reeds there, then you know that's a stream. Similarly, shvela, the sign for a plain, that is a flat lands, and the Gemara will explain again exactly what's the significance of knowing if it's flat lands, is sycamore trees, which do not produce any fruits. Now, the Gemara says that v'afa pisha in ra'i l'dav, now, although there's no proof regarding this last one that we showed, that a sign for shvela are sycamore trees, however, zeich l'dav, there is a sign that seems to show in that direction that is the case. Shem, like it says, the pasuk in Malachim Aleph, says, v'yitin ha-melech as ha-kesef b'Yerushalayim kavam, that the king made that the silver should be in Jerusalem like stones, in other words, that there was so much, v'sa-razim nasin, he made the cedars, he made them like sycamores in the plains because there were so many. Now, from there, it sounds like that the derech for the shvela, for the plains, is to have shikmim, to have these sycamore trees. Now, although it sounds like a raya ladavar, Rashi says it's not a complete raya, it's just a zecher ladavar, that because it's not clear that if there wouldn't be any shikmim, that then there wouldn't be shvela. So therefore, it's not a raya, but it definitely seems like a zeichel davar that we see that the reference was that the shikmim are what's bashvela, that it was almost like the arazim were almost like sycamores because they were, again, because of the great wealth that there was. So now the Gemara explains what is the significance of these four markers that we're giving to describe the area that it is. So he said, similar harim, a sign for mountains, are mil nagolnat. And similarly, related to the next one, the similar makam, a sign for valleys, is the kolam, are date palms. Now, nafkemin lebikurim. These two simonim have a ramification regarding the lachas of bikurim of the first fruit that are brought to Yerushalayim. It's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas bikurim. Ein mevin bikurim el meshivas aminim. You only can bring the bikurim, which are the first fruits, only if they're from the seven types of fruits that is considered the shvach, the praise of Eretz Yisrael. As it says in the pasuk regarding bikurim, it says ashetavi me'artzecha, that you'll bring from your land. And the Gemara Menachas and the Pedalim Ablaze says that it says over here Artzach, and it says over there Eretz Chita Sa'ira Begoyim, etc., that just like over there it's talking about the Shlach, the praise of Eretz Yisrael, because that's what the Pasuk is talking about over there, it's praising it. So to hear when it says Artzach, it's talking about the Shlach of Eretz Yisrael, which we learn that two components from there. That A, you can only bring the Bikurim, the first fruits, from the Shivas Aminim. And the other criteria, which is it could only be from a place which are the most praiseworthy types of fruits in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, v'loy midekalim, you cannot bring the bikurim from date palms. And as Rashi says, that dates are one of the shivas aminim, because it says in the pasuk d'vash, which is a reference to d'vash tamarim, which are date honey. You cannot bring from the date palm shibaharm, from the mountains, because they're not as good quality. Only the dekalim, the date palms of the valleys, are considered good quality. And that's why we said that the difference is because what usually grows well on the mountains are gallnut trees, not the date palms. And that's why that's the significance to see if we see the gallnut trees, then we shouldn't take from those date palms because then we know that's the mountainous area, which is not good. And also, v'loy miperis, we cannot bring from the produce of the grain, sheba makim, which is in the valleys, because there the water lays there on the low-down area, and then the grain gets stuck over there in the water, and it gets wilted, and it gets rotten. And therefore, you can't bring from there either, and that's the significance there also, to know what the valley is, that we said it's the column. If you see date palms there, then don't bring the grain from there, because that won't be good quality, again, because it sits in the water. So that's why it's important to have use these markers as knowing what the area is in relation to the halachas of Bikurim. The next one, similar on the Chalam Kanam, we said that the sign for streams are reeds. Nafkamina lanachal esim. There the halacha is regarding what's called the raging stream. And that's because what's called the egla rufa, the decapitated calf, when there's someone that dies between an area of two cities and they have to go ahead and do this process called egla rufa, you have to see reeds growing over there by what's called nachal esen, because if not, it's not going to be called, quote, nachal, a stream, because a stream has these reeds. So if you don't see the reeds, then we'll know you cannot do the whole tira of egla rufa over there. Now the final one, similar shvela, what's a sign for a flat plain? Is shikma, are the sycamore trees. What type of ramification does that have? Nafkimin lemeke memcha, that has a ramification regarding businesses, that if someone says, I'm going to sell you a shvela, and then it has to have shikmim, then it has to have the sycamore trees, because that is a sign that this is a flat plain. Now the Gemara says, hashad asl hachi, now once you use that as a ramification of one of the cases just regarding business, when you're selling something and what you're calling it, it has to be that, then kula namin lemeke memcha, really all those cases we could have said regarding business deals, that I'm saying I'm selling you a mountain, or I'm selling you a valley, or whatever it is, then it has to have those criteria, because they are signs that this is what it is, and that they always have that, and that would be the ramification by all of them, not just regarding the flat plains. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the Mishnayis of this parak regarding the minhag hamakim, the custom that is in a certain place. So the Mishnah continues, makim shenagu limkar behema daka lenachim, in the place, in that location where their custom is to sell small livestock, small little animals to non-Jews, then you could sell. Makam shaloi nagulim, in the place where they do not have the custom to sell, and that is because they were stringent on themselves, because maybe you might come to sell even what's called a behemah gasa, large livestock, which we'll say in a moment, why is that forbidden? Then emachin, then in such a place, you cannot go against that custom, and you also cannot even sell a small livestock. Now, as the Mishnah explains, ubachal makam emachin lem behemah gasa. Now, in all locations, wherever the Jewish people are, one cannot sell large livestock to the non-Jews. And that's because of Gzeir D'Rabbanan, because of that, if we allow to sell, we might lend it to them or rent it to them, which is a problem, because Shvisas Behemta is that these large animals do work, and there's an Issa of Shvisas Behemta, you're not allowed to have your animal doing work, and that's a problem, because the non-Jew is going to be working it. And another reason, as the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah explains, is because that when you're selling it, you might come to test it out, and it might be an Erev Shabbos, and then you're going to be doing the Issa of Mechamer. And that's why that's a problem too. As Rashi explains, a person is commanded about Shvisa Behemtoi, so therefore that's a concern that you're never allowed to sell any large animals, again, because either you might lend it or rent it, or because you might come to test it out for the non-Jew when it's already Shabbos, which would be the problem of Mechamer. Now the Mishnah continues and explains that this Isser, selling the large animal to the non-Jew, is whether a golem, whether the calves, the siachen, or foals, which are the small types of animals. Now even though these small animals do not do work, because they're still too young, however, they would get confused with the larger type of animals. So although we're not talking about small livestock, these animals that are always small, we're talking about those that get large. But now, even though they're small now, they would get confused when they're larger, and therefore these types of animals can never be sold. And that is shleimim, whether they're complete, or vishvurim, or even if they're maimed, even if they're broken. And that is, again, as Rashi explains, because the broken ones might get confused with when they're shleimim, and therefore none of these types can be sold. However, Behuda, he argues, and he says, Mate b'shvur, he permits selling a broken one. And that is because the non-Jew would not hold on to it and use it. Rather, he's going to slaughter it right away. And hence, no one's, because essentially we said the shvur is not a problem, because no one's working at it at all. It's just the problem is because then people might confuse it with the shleimim. But he says, no Jew that's going to see the non-Jew is going to confuse this, because he's never going to hold on to it. He's going to slaughter it right away because it's a shvura. And therefore, no one's going to see it to think, oh, you can sell it and then come to sell even the shleimim. And b'seir matar b'sus. But Maseri makes an exception to this entire halacha. He permits selling, although it's a larger animal, he permits selling a horse. And that's because the entire problem was a concern about either when you're testing it out or when you're going to be renting it or lending it to him, which is a problem of shvisa behemtoi, because he might do work with the animal, which is aser. There is no work, quote-unquote, that's done with the horse because it's just used for riding, which is not an essential malacha on Shabbos. And even if you're going to test it out, there's also no problem in Erev Shabbos, because even if you're going to be riding on the horse to show him how well it rides, and it's going to be Shabbos time already, and that's going to be a problem, there's no problem, because the whole issa of riding on the horse is only issa d'rabbanan, as the Gemara says, Mesechtas Bei, on the Flamavavim Beis, and hence we're not going to make a gzeira l'gzeira to say that you can't go ahead and do this, because you might come to do that, which that itself is issa d'rabbanan. Now the Mishnah goes back to what we had started off this whole discussion about Menhagim, regarding the Menhagim of Pesach. So the Mishnah says, "Makom shenagu lechol tzli b'leil pesachim." In a place where their custom is to eat roasted meat on Pesach by the night, then eichel, then you could eat. However, makom shenagu shelo lechol, in a place where the minig was not to eat roasted meat on the Seder night, because that looks like you're eating the carbon Pesach outside, which was eaten roasted. Then ein eichel. Then, if that's the custom, then you do not eat that type of meat on the Seder night. So now, related to this, the Gemara brings Zemar Yehuda Merab. A person is not allowed to say that this meat, even if it's already slaughtered, he has a piece of meat and he's going to go ahead and take it for Pesach. He's not allowed to say that this piece of meat is for Pesach. And the reason is, it looks like he's sanctifying his piece of meat, his animal. It looks like he's eating kachem outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Because he's saying, oh, this is for Pesach. Like as if it's the carbon Pesach. And that's problematic because you're not allowed to go ahead and eat kachem outside. However, the Gemara qualifies this. And Amar Rav Papa, he says, Dafka Basa, this concern that even if you're buying a piece of meat in the store and saying, oh, this is for Pesach, oh, you can't do that because it looks like you're taking the carbon Pesach outside, that's only by meat. Avachite loy. But we didn't say this regarding wheat, because that has no similarity whatsoever to kachem. And when you're saying that this wheat is for Pesach, what you're saying is the minta lepischa kamer. You're saying that it should be concealed, it should be put a set aside that to eat this wheat on Pesach. And we don't say that it looks like that he wants to sell this wheat to then purchase the carbon Pesach with that money, and then hence it looks like kachem machuz. We don't say such a thing. We say that the wheat was just being set aside for Pesach time. Now the Gemara asks, Ubasur loy, and we didn't say the same thing for meat that just for Pesach. I want to use it for Pesach. I didn't say I want to use it for a carbon Pesach. We didn't say that. We said that Basur is going to be Asur, but Mesvei, we learned in the Brayso, Amar Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi said, Toidish Ishraimi. Toidis, who was a very distinguished person of Jewish lineage in Rome, Hinigas b'nei Raimi lechol gedoyim mikulasim b'leil b'sachem. He accustomed the Roman Jewish community to eat a roasted goat that was armored on the night of Pesach. Now, what does this mean, armored? As Rashi explains, it was roasted, and it had its head on its knees and on its intestines, the way the Karban Pesach was roasted, as the Gemara explains on Daf Ayin, Dalam and Aleph, that Rabbi Kiva would call that Mekoilus, that it was armored, because since it was hanging, the insides were hanging outside on the side, so it looked like someone that's carrying his weapons on the side. So therefore, that was called an armored, he had them eating armored kids on the night of Pesach. So Sholcholoi, they sent him, Il Moli Taidis Ato, were you not Taidis, such a Adam Chashev, then Gazrano Lechanita, we would have decreed upon you to be excommunicated. Shata Maichalis Yisol Kachem Achuz, you're feeding the Jewish people Kachem outside of Yerushalayim in Rome. So the Gemara asked Kachem Sol Ketaydech, what do you mean? They didn't have any Mizbech, they didn't make a Kachem, what does that mean? Elaim, rather say, and we continue on Talmud Beis, that Karev Lahachalis Yisol Kachem Achuz, you're very close to feeding the Jewish people Kachem outside, because it's similar to Kachem, in the sense because it looks exactly like the Karban Pesach. Now, the question is now, Mekoilus, and it sounds like the whole problem what Taidus was doing was because they were armored. In other words, it was doing exactly how the Karban Pesach was, roasted, and it's over its knees, and with some of the intestines coming out on the side. She'im Mekoilus Le, however, it sounds like if it's not armored, it's not a problem, and that's difficult according to Rav. Because he said, even regular piece of meat, you just have that slab of meat, and you're saying, hey, that's for Pesach, that's a problem. Here it sounds like it's only because it was exactly how it's done, it was a problem. So another Gemara answers, Amri, they said, Mekoilus, when it was how Titus had done, that it was armored, then loishno amar, loishno loy amar. Then it wouldn't make a difference if he says or doesn't say that this meat should be for Pesach. Even if he didn't say that it should be for Pesach, it's aser, because just looking at it, it looks like a problem. It looks like the Karban Pesach. However, she'ena makulas, when it's not exactly makulas, like in Rav's case, it's not with head over the knees, roasted with the armor on the side, then pirish, then if he says that this meat should be for Pesach, which is what Rav said, then in, yes, then it's going to be asr, because then it looks like you're calling it a carbon Pesach. Like pirish, like however, if you don't say it's for Pesach, then it's not going to be a problem. And therefore, that's not difficult, according to Rav, because Bektoy, this was even when not saying that it's Pesach, it's a problem. Rav was told him that if you call it Pesach, then it's going to be a problem, but if you wouldn't, then it wouldn't be a problem. Now, Ravachi Masni Lalaha Masni, Ravachi learns this that we just quoted, that what Toidus had done, Kireb Shimon, like Reb Shimon. In other words, it was Amireb Shimon, Toidus Ishraim, not Amireb Yasi that we had just said. To which Maskel Rav Shesha, Rav Shesha asked, how can you say that version of the Braisa? Bishlam al Mandutani Lo Kireb Yasi Nich, according to the version that said it was Reb Yasi had said this incident with Toidus, that makes sense. El Lamanda Masni Kireb Shimon Menicha, does it really make sense that Reb Shimon was quoting this halacha? But now we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos that it says over there when someone says Harei Alei Mincha, I'm going to bring a flour offering Min Hasa'im from the barley, which it's learned over there Masechtas Menachos that a donated flour offering a mincha has to be brought from wheat flour. Now once he already says Harei Alei Mincha, so then the first opinion mentioned over there, Tanakhama says that what's called Tafas Lashon Rishon, we say the first thing that he said is the Iker, is the main thing, and therefore since a mincha cannot be brought from barley when it's being donated, therefore he has to bring from the wheat flour because the first part he already said, Harei Alei Mincha, forget about the last words, Menasayim, already was Mechayivim, made out of wheat flour. However, Reb Shimon Paiter, Reb Shimon said that the person is exempt. And that's because his opinion, as stated over there, says that Af Begmar Devarav Adam Nitfas, that even with the conclusion of his statement, has significance, and that's what he holds is important too. And therefore, whatever he meant to say is going to have an impact. And since he intended to say Harei Alei Mincha, and he wanted to say the end of the sentence to Min HaSa'arim from the barley, now, since he wanted to bring the Nedava like that, and since you cannot bring it like that, because again, we said that the Nedava of Mincha can only be from wheat flour, therefore, whatever essentially he said has no standing. And the reason is, Shalei Hisnadiv Kederecha Misnadim, because he's not donating a Mincha the way it's supposed to be donated. And therefore, he doesn't have to bring any mincha because he didn't mean to say mincha from the wheat flour. He wanted to say as he ended off Min HaSa'arim. And since that's also part of the statement, and that can't be, so he doesn't have to bring anything. And therefore, this case also is what the Gemara's question is. When Titus was feeding them this Gedi Mekoilus, this roasted goat with its entrails, with the whole package, its armored, how exactly is this, as it was quoted over there, that he was close to serving them kachim outside? But how could that be? When this animal was still alive, they didn't call it the carbon Pesach. Now, even if they would have called it carbon Pesach when it was being roasted, that's what's called Shalei Kederech HaMekdishna. That's not how it's normally brought in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, the Shem Pesach should not be chal, just like Reb Shimon says, even when you say even almost a more legitimate statement, when you say Harei Alei Mincha Min HaSa'arim, that since that doesn't work, it's not exactly how it's supposed to be, then we say what's called Shalei Kederech HaMekdishna. You didn't do exactly how it's done, then it has no value. We don't start interpreting like the first opinion says, oh, you said Harei Alei Mincha, you got to bring from wheat flour, even though you ended up a different way. We don't say that according to Reb Shimon. And therefore, how could it be Reb Shimon who is saying this statement in the name of Toidus, that it's almost like bringing a kachim machutz? What type of kachim machutz? Because you called it a Pesach, but that's not exactly how it's done. It's not his nadiv kenerechem is nadvim. So why is that considered a problem? So the Gemara seems like that's definitely a good question on that version of that it was Reb Shimon. But then the Gemara asks, Amalei Ravin Ravashi, but Uman de Masnin la Kreb Yosi Minicha? Okay, so the other version, that it was Reb Yosi who said this statement. Does that make sense also? But Vama Rava said that Reb Shimon, that he said that if someone says, I want to bring a mincha from this iron from barley, that he's exempt, and we're not mechayiv him based on the first part of the sentence that he said, because we consider significant also the last part of the sentence. On that, Rava said, Beshitas Reb Yosi Amra. That's because Reb Shimon goes according to the opinion of Reb Yosi. The Amr that Reb Yosi says in Masechtas Tamur on Daf Chafei Amad Beis, Af Bigmat Dvar of Adam Nitvas, that a person is also held part of his statement, the essential component of what he's trying to say, is also related to the last part of what he's trying to say. As the Mishnah there teaches that if someone says, Harezu Tumuras Oilo Tumurashlam, that this animal should be an exchange, which is forbidden to do to make a Tumura, of an Oilo and of a Shlam. So Remeir's opinion is that that's a Tumuras Oilo, because what we say is Tafas Lasharishan, again, as the other opinion that we mentioned before, that's the first part which has the most important impact. Reb Yosi said, no. if his original intention was to be exactly as he said, that it should be Tumuras Oyla and Tumuras Shlam. Now, it's just that he couldn't say two words at the same time, so that's why he had to say one after the other. Then we say Devarav Kayamin. What he meant to say is legitimate, and therefore you have to wait till the animal gets a mum, it has a blemish. Then you sell the animal, and you bring half the value of the animal for an Oyla, and half the value of the animal Shlamin, because again, Af Bikmat Devarav Adam Nitvas, a person, not only the first part of what he says, but even the last part has significance. And therefore, you would have to go do both Oyla and Shlamin. And that's what Reb Shimon was saying. Like Reb Shimon that said that in this case it's not going to be anything, is because when he said Harelai Mincha, you have to finish off the sentence to Min HaSayim. Now he didn't want to bring Min HaMincha from the Chitin; he wanted to bring from the Sayim, and Sayim you can't bring. So therefore, he doesn't have to bring anything. So the Gemara says, "My love, doesn't it make sense to say Reb Shimon sublik Reb Yosi? From the fact Reb Shimon holds like Reb Yosi regarding what we just said, that your typhus also the Gemara Devarav." That Rabbi Yosi Namah Sublik Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Yosi also agrees to Rabbi Shimon regarding this principle that Rabbi Shimon said, that you have to be misnativ, kederecha misnativ, and you have to donate the way it's normally donated, and if you don't, then you didn't say anything. Now the problem is, that case of Titus, even according to Rabbi Yosi, shouldn't work out, because that was also not makdish the Pesach the way it's normally hukdash. So therefore, even according to Rabbi Yosi's version, how does that work out? So Shigmar says, no, it's not true. It's not necessarily the case. Reb Shimon sublik Reb Yosi. Reb Shimon holds like Reb Yosi regarding his halach of af begmah dvarav adam nitvas. But below Reb Yosi sublik Reb Shimon. However, Reb Yosi does not hold like Reb Shimon regarding this halachic principle of being misnadiv, shaloi kederecha misnadiv, that it's considered as if you said nothing. Rather, you would be liable, according to Reb Yosi, even in that case, to bring a carbon, a carbon mincha made out of wheat flour. Now, however, as Rashi says, not because of those who argue on him because of Tavas Lashon Rishon. That's not the case, because he doesn't say that. He says even Begmar Dvarav Adam Nitvas, which is why the Gemara thought Reb Shimon and Reb Yosi were belated. Rather for a different principle, because of what's called that a person's not Mitzi Dvarav Levatel. A person doesn't say things for nothing. It has to have some significance. And regarding this case of Gedima Tkulis too, also regarding this case that by Toidis, that although as it was pointed out, that it was Shaloi Kederech HaMakdishin, which according to Reb Shimon should not work, it shouldn't be a problem, but still it was, according to Reb Yosi, Karv L'Halcha Kachem Bachutz, because if they would say Harei Zeh LePesach, what we would say, again, based on the principle that Reb Yosi holds, that a person not Moitzi Dvar L'Vatel, he doesn't say things for nothing, we would say that he's saying it should be for the damim of a Karvan Pesach, it should be for the monetary value of a Karvan Pesach, which would be a problem, and hence it's Karv L'Halcha Kachem Bachutz. You're right, it's not an actual Karvan Pesach, but it would be close, because it looks like you're saying that this should have the value of a Karban Pesach. And again, that's why, according to that version, that it's Reb Yosi, it's not a problem. It was only a problem if it's going to be Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon says that it has to be exactly how it's misnadiv, and therefore it has to be exactly how it's hokdish, which is not the case over there, that it should have been a problem in the first place, what Titus was doing. So now the Gemara asked, based on that incident, Ibailhu, they had the following question. Titus Ishraimi, this that we were speaking about, Titus, this distinguished person from Rome, was Gava Rabahava? Was he a Tamachach? Was he a great person? And because of his honor, that's what they meant, they didn't excommunicate him? Or Bala Greifenhava? Or maybe he was someone of force of might, and because they were afraid of him, because he was very, very well influenced and powerful, that's why they didn't excommunicate him. So Tashma, the Gemara brings two different rayas. That one raya is, we learned Oidzu Darash Toidus Ishraim, and that this also was expounded upon by Toidus Ishraim, which obviously it shows that he's a Gavarab, that he was a Talmud Chacham, that he said the following drasha. Said, Ma ro Chananya Mishol Vazaryo, where did they see fit, Chananya Mishol Vazaryo, Shem Masru Atzman HaKadushas Hashem L'Kiv Shanesh, that they gave up their lives, they were Moisru Nefesh, when they went into the burning furnace. And that is, in other words, his question was, why didn't they consider the famous drasha of that it says v'chai behem, that you should live by the words of Torah, and v'lo shiyom espen, that you shouldn't die by them? Why were they moisa nefesh? So on that, Taidus said, nasu kavochayim ba'atzman mitzvardam. They went and they made a kavochayim on themselves from the tzvardam, from the frogs in Egypt. And that is umatzvardam, just like we find by one of the plagues, the second plague. The frogs have no commandments at all, and they don't have to be Meis and Nefesh to make a sanctification of Hashem's name. Yet, Ksibu, it says regarding them in the Pasuk in Shemais, Uva'u, Va'olu, and they come, Beveisecha, in your homes, Begaimu, Vesanirecha, and in your ovens, Uvemisharesecha, and in your kneading bowls. Now, Eimase Misharis Mitsuyas Itzeltano, when are the kneading bowls next to the ovens? Because it says the ovens and kneading bowls. It sounds like they're near each other. When is the kneading bowl near the oven? That's when the oven is warm. Then that's when you bring the kneading bowl there to go ahead and bake the dough that was kneaded. Now, and therefore, obviously, that the frogs that were in the kneading bowl and right next to it in the oven were in the hot burning ovens. So, and they would be mekadosh Hashem by doing Hashem's will, even though it was going to kill them. So, anushim etzuvim nakadushas Hashem. So, we that we have a commandment to sanctify Hashem's name, alachas kama b'kama, isn't it no doubt that we have to go ahead into the burning furnace to go ahead and be mekadosh shem shemayim? So that's one ride that shows that he was obviously a gavra rabba, and that's why he didn't excommunicate him, not because he was a powerful person. Another ray is Rabbi Yisrael Ovenamar. He says that Titus was matil malai. He would put merchandise lekishal tamid chacham haya. He would put into their pockets to go ahead and use to make money out of it. And the reason why he did this was the Amr Rabbi Yechanan kolamatil malai lekish tamid chacham. Whoever goes ahead and gives merchandise to a Talmudic scholar to go ahead and invest and make money out of it, zeicha v'yeshu b'yeshiva shamala. That person who gave him, who's supporting him, helping him, and makes the money, will merit and sit in the yeshiva that's up there in Shemayim. Shnem, like it says a pasuk in Keheles, ki b'tzel ha-chachma, because in the shadow of wisdom, b'tzel ha-kesef, in the shadow of money, that is in the area where the chachma is going to be, this person will enter that went and gave hana, pleasure from his resources to the Talmud Chacham, and that is he'll also be able to merit in the Tzel HaChachma, and that's what, again, another ride that Titus was a Gavar Rabba, he would go ahead and support Talmud Chacham. Nothing more continues. The next Mishnah, again, continuing on this theme about Minhagim. So the Mishnah says, Makim Shenagu Lahalik Es Haner B'Loel Mikipurim, in the place where their custom is to have candles lit on the Nar Ev Yom Kippurim, then Madlikin, then you have it lit, Makim Shenagu Shaloi Lahalik, in the places where their custom is not to have candles lit on Yom Kippur by night, then Imadlikin, then you don't have it lit. However, Umadlikin, Babat Kenesis, you have the candles, of course you can have them lit in the shuls, Babat the Medrashas, in the places of the study, Umavoyis HaFelim, and in these dark alleyways, Vagabachelim, and on top of ill people, it's only in people's homes that we said either that they should have candles lit or not. Now, the Gemara explains, time to learn the Braisa. Bein Sha'amr Lahadlik, whether this that we said that one should have them lit, in other words, those that would have the custom that the candles would be lit in their homes on Yom Kippur night, whether that this that we said that it should not be lit, in other words, those that did not have the minhag to have it lit, essentially, although they were doing opposite things, they were both having intention for the same exact thing, and that was to separate the men from having relations with their wives. And so how could they have opposite minhagim? Those that said that it should be lit was because there's an isser of having tashmash shamita, of having marital relations to the light of a candle. And therefore they said, actually have candles so that you won't be able to have relations. Those that said that it should not be lit, they held that if a candle is going to be lit, he's going to see his wife and desire her. So better have it dark, he doesn't see her, and that will prevent them from having marital relations. But either way, essentially, they both wanted the same thing, because in Yom Kippur, Teshmash Amita is Aser. Now, on this, Rabbi Yeshua said, the Darish Rava had expounded a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, V'amech kulim tzadikim. Your nation is entirety of righteous people. La'olam yushu aretz v'gamer, that forever they will inherit this land. And that is, what does it mean that all of them are tzaddikim? That is because although there's opposite customs, that bein sha'amr lahadlik, whether they said to light the candle, or bein sha'amr shaloi lahadlik, whether they said not to light, shneim lo niskavnu ladavar echad, they both were intending for the same exact thing. So therefore, although it seems like that if one's a tzaddik, the other one's not, it's not true. They're all tzaddikim because they're both intending for the same thing. Now on this topic regarding candles and specifically regarding Yom Kippur, of Matzah Yom Kippur, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Ein mevarchen al ha'or ela b'moitzeh Shabbos. That one does not go ahead and make a bracha as we do on Matzah Shabbos, Bar Mar Eish, only on Matzah Shabbos. However, Tchilas Priyasi, who since that is the beginning of when it was created, that is why we go ahead and make a Bar Mar Eish. But other times, like Matzah Yom Tov, for example, it would not be applicable. So Amalei Hu Shabbos, so this elder told him, Ve'itema, and some say, which is going to be significant for the next story, that Rabbi Barachana, that was Rabbi Barachana said, Yishar well said, and Bechinam Rabbi Yechanan, so too Rabbi Yechanan said, again, this Rabbi Barachana saying that Rabbi Yechanan had agreed that we only make Bar Mar Eish on a fire on Matzah Shabbos. Now, so the Gemara brings a story related to this, that Ula have a rach of chamer v'azel. Ula was riding on a donkey and he was going, and he had Reb Abba Mimine, Reb Abba was going on his right side, Reb Abba Chana, Mismali, Reb Chana from his left side. So, Amali Reb Abba Le'ula, so Reb Abba said to Ula, that Vadai, is it really true, Dar Mitu Mishmeid Reb Yechanan, that you said in the name of Reb Yechanan, that Eim Avarchan Al-Ur El B'Matzah Shabbos, that you only make a Bar Mar Eish A-Matzah Shabbos, Ha'il V'Tchiz B'Yasi, who since that's the beginning of the creation, as we had in the previous Gemara, that Rabbi Chana had said, that well said, and this is exactly what Rabbi Yechanan had said, that we only make Bar Mar Eish on Matzah Shabbos because that's when it was created. So this was what Rabbi Abba was asking to clarify with Ula. So Hadar Ula Chazeh Bei Rabbi B'Chana Bishra. So Ula turned and he gave like a stern look. He turned to look at Rabbi B'Chana and as if to say that this is what you said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. But he did not say this. Rather, even on Matzah Yom Kippurim, you make a bracha of Baimer Ha'esh. And that's because the reason why we make a Baimer Ha'esh on Matzah Shabbos is not because that's when the fire was created. Rather, because it's something new that was forbidden the entire day, which the same by Yom Kippurim, which also we cannot do any malachas. There's no Oichel Nefesh like we have on Yom Tov. And now it's the first time that you're having Hanafmit. That's why we make a bracha on the fire on Matzah Shabbos, which would include Matzah Yom Kippurim too. So how can you have said this in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that Yisha, that we only make it on Matzah Shabbos? It's not true. So Amalei, Rabbi B'chana responded to Ula, says, Ano lava ha amri, this is a mistake, what Rabbi is saying. I didn't say this, Ela ha amri, rather, regarding this did I say in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. A different halacha. You're right, it's Yom Kippurim, and it's regarding a candle, but not regarding Matzah Shabbos of making a Baimar Eish. Rather, the Tani Tanik HaMed Rabbi Yechanan, there was someone that had taught in front of Rabbi Yechanan, a brisa that said, Rabbi Shimon Laza says, Yemi Kippurim Shechalis B'Shabbos, that when Yom Kippur falls on the same day as Shabbos, now, Af B'Mokim Sh'amu Sh'loy Lahadlik, that even in a place where the minig is to generally not light a candle, Yom Kippurim by night, however, Madlikim they covered as Shabbos, however, they would light on that Yom Kippur, because of why we normally light on Friday nights, it's for Kavod Shabbos, that would supersede, that would override that minig of not to light the candle. And on that, that's what the B'yuchanan responded regarding that statement that V'chacham Oishim, that V'chacham say that it's forbidden, even though it's Shabbos, still that minig is not to light the candle Yom Kippur, and it would still be Aser. And that's what I meant, that's what I was talking about. I was talking about the Yom Kippur night, not Matzah Yom Kippur. So Amaleh, and that Ula responded, Adat Tehei, that is what it should be. In other words, regarding that, I agree that Rabbi Yechanan said. But not this, what Rabbi Abba was saying in your name, and that what sounds like what you had been saying, Rabbi Chana, that Rabbi Yechanan agrees that it's only Matzah Shabbos, it's not true, it's other times too. Now, Karalei Rabbi Yosef, regarding this episode, he said the following pasuk in Mishlei. Mayim Amukim, deep waters, Eitzah B'Lev Ish is counsel in the heart of man. We're continuing on top of Nundalim and Aleph. The Ish Tevuna Yidlena, and the man of understanding will draw it out. So what is this a reference to? So he referenced it regarding this episode. Mayim Amukim, deep waters, Eitzah B'Lev Ish is counsel in the heart of a man. Zeh Ula, that's a reference to Ula in this story. That's because Ula understood from the words of Reb Abba that there was a mistake over here. And therefore he looked at Rabbi Bar Chana and gave him a look. And he didn't say anything that he made a mistake. That's what's called Eitzah B'Lev Ish. And that is because he held it in his heart, but he didn't say, why did you say this? Now, that's a reference to Ula. V'ish Tvun Yidlena, this that regarding a man of understanding will draw it out, that he understood what Ula was saying in his heart, because he saw from the look that he was looking at him, and then he responded to him, Zeh Rabbi B'chana, that's a reference to Rabbi B'chana, that although Ula didn't go ahead and say anything, how can you say such a thing, that the only time you make a Bar Marish is a Matzah Shabbos, which is not the case, he understood from the look, and he responded to him, he was able to draw it out, he understood that this was something wrong, and he says, no, I didn't say it regarding Matzah Kippurim, I said regarding Yom Kippur night, that's the same day as Shabbos. Now, the Gemara asks, but V'inhu Kamant Savruha, now who do they hold like? Ula and Rabbi B'chana, that they didn't want to agree to Rabbi Abba. And Rabbi Abba says, is that really true? That the only time, as Rabbi Yechanan had said, is on Matzah Shabbos they make a Baimer Ha'esh? And they both obviously disagreed. And he said, no, even I didn't say that Rabbi B'chana says that Rabbi Yechanan agrees. That I was only saying it regarding Yom Kippur night. So who do they hold like? Why is it that it's not only Matzah Shabbos? And that the Gemara says, Ki hod amir Rabbi Yomid bar Yefes amir Rabbi Yechanan, that this version of Rabbi Yechanan, that says, Mevarchan al or, that we make a bracha on the fire, Bein b'Matzah Shabbos, Bein b'Matzah Yom Kippurim. That's whether on Matzah Shabbos, and also it's not only Matzah Shabbos because that's when it was created, but even on Matzah Yom Kippurim, v'chein amad davar, and go out, and that's actually what the minig hamok, that's the minig of the people, that they accustom themselves to go ahead and make a Baimer Ha'esh on Matzah Yom Kippurim too. And as we said before, because it's not based on when it was created, but rather that because up until now this whole day was forbidden, which is only by Shabbos and Yom Kippurim, when you can't do any malachas of Eichel Nefesh, then we can go ahead and make a brach on it on Baimer Ha'esh after Shabbos and Yom Kippurim have concluded.